You're listening to Sustainable from AgriBusiness Global, covering the crop protection, biologicals, and plant health markets' advancements towards creating a healthier planet.
Hi, welcome to Sustainable. My name is Renee Targus. I'm the editor for AgriBusiness Global, and I'll be your host for today's podcast. Today, we're talking with Roma Gwynn, Chief Scientific Officer at AgBioScout. She's also a board member of the International Biocontrols Manufacturers Association. Welcome, Roma.
Hi, Renee. Thank you for inviting me to talk today.
What do you see as the greatest hindrance for biologicals getting to market globally?
Yeah, so it is a different business model. These technologies are not the big blockbuster technologies. They're not the same as an ag chem. And some of the people who are investing that making those sorts of assumptions when they're developing their businesses. So what they do is they invest in that, they place in with the companies that model of delivery, and then it can't meet that. But this is because the technology is more complex. It needs a lot of additional technical inputs into it. These additional technical inputs in its production process and across the whole value chain about how the technologies can be used. So sometimes what we're seeing is there's a lot of venture capital goes into these companies, and that venture capital money, it's hard to recoup that again because it's sort of overvalued what the technology will be because it's been valued looking at it as a sort of traditional protection solution, and it isn't that. And that's not to say that these technologies don't have value. They absolutely do. But it's a different investment model. It's a longer-term return on investment. So it's not something like a pharmaceutical where you're looking from 3 to 5 years. You're looking at a much longer time frame, sort of 5 to 10 years probably, which means you need a different business structure. And a lot of times, these companies that the money's going into, they're young companies. They're often quite naive. They're not mature in the marketplace, and they need a lot of support to understand. So just putting the money in doesn't help them. They actually need other support to go in. And because of that, you can see those investments get installed. And if somebody doesn't spot that, they then go bankrupt because they don't succeed.
What types of companies are you seeing that are the most successful in getting products to market? And what do you see them doing?
Yeah, so this is interesting because there's one or two companies who've been doing this for quite a long time, and they are patient, I think is one of the strongest attributes they have. So they're good at understanding the technologies, because when you're dealing with microorganisms or when you're dealing with plant extracts, it can be quite complicated. So what these companies are doing is they understand the technical know-how to understand it. They then also understand how they will place those into the market. So they're looking at where these technologies can be used, because a lot of times you see people came in or companies came in and they thought they would use the technologies to replace chemistry, but they're doing something, these technologies are doing something different. You can't quite use them in that way. So the companies that are successful, they can see this. And what they've been really good at doing is they've been really good at integrating these technologies with their existing product lines, whether that's chemical or other biological product line. They've worked out how to bring all the elements together. And then what they've then worked out is how to make that offer to the farmers, what it is they're actually offering to the farmer and providing with the technology advice. Because this is a new technology, you need support in that transition to pick up, to adopt the technology as well, how to get the best out of them. So in really simple terms, you know, microorganism, it might only work in certain temperature conditions. You need to know that, and you need to explain that to the farmer so that he knows then how to use it best. It doesn't mean it can't be used. And companies have been successful, the companies have done that. So we see companies of different sizes. So you can see small companies who've been really successful where they're focused on one geographical locality or one particular type of technology. And we see some of that going on in places like sort of Africa, sort of in Kenya and South America. We've seen also in some of Brazilian companies, that's what they've done. Then there's other companies who have brought in a really wide range of into their portfolio. They've integrated the technology, and then what they've got is they've got the infrastructure and the technical support to help roll them out, and they've done that. And those are sort of what I'd say mid-tier companies. Now, some of the large companies have also invested in these technologies, and there it's a little bit mixed. Some of their technologies they've been successful with, and others they haven't, and they've moved them on and sold them to other companies. And where those bigger ag chems have been more successful so far has been where the technology they've brought in it's more similar to conventional chemical pesticides. So they can use their existing structures and it fits into those. So it's a mixed pattern globally and territorially, and a mixed pattern of the technologies as to who has been more successful. There are a lot of companies who have been less successful and then they've sold on to other people. But what I think is slightly interesting is some of the success comes from the farmers. The farmers have come together to build their knowledge, and the farmers are going out there and saying, I want this, 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 and this. And the farmers are holding the knowledge for how to develop an integrated program on the farm. And so the knowledge is held in a slightly different place than it might have been in the past. And so companies who are able to pick up on that and work with that are the ones who are tending to be more successful.
I've heard of some of the companies creating specific programs where they're customizing their plan for each of the farmers or the regions and making sure that there's an education component in it. Because I think, you know, like you said, at the Latin American conference last year, is that you can't use biologicals the same way that you would use like traditional crop protection. It's not good to think of them as the same.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if you think about it in simple terms, broad brushstrokes here, but just sort of thing here. If you think of an insecticide is killing your insect. Now, if you're bringing in a microorganism that's working against insects, it's not necessarily killing them. What it can do is it can be repelling them. It can be stopping them eating. So if you think about a baculovirus, virus, which is a virus specific to certain insects, when the insect starts eating that, it just stops feeding because it doesn't feel very well. And so, but if you go out and assess it, you'll see the insect still sitting on the crop and saying it's not working. But when you look at what damage has gone on, you can see that the crop, they've stopped eating, so you're not getting crop damage. And it's understanding small examples like that as to how to use the technology. And you need to know that when you're using, say, baculoviruses again, is that you need to place them out at the right stage for the life cycle. What fire control is very unforgiving. So if you don't do things well, you can't get away with it in biocontrol because they're not persistent usually and they're not toxic. So if you don't put them out at the right time, the right life stage of the insect, they're not going to work well. So that's why the interaction with the growers and the growers understanding their crop and their situation in combination with the technology is so critical. I mean, it's kind of interesting. It was a really nice project I worked on in the UK, which is funded by UK growers, called the AMBER Project. And in that, what it sort of showed was that if you didn't put the spray with the right volume of water at the right time, you didn't get the effect that you needed. And just something as simple as reducing the water volume by 50%, they had over 35% increase in efficacy just by doing that. So you kind of got to understand that. And I think what we're having to work is co-designing with the companies and the farmers to co-design a new kind of crop protection that understands all of these interactions. And there's an education process going on, and there's also a co-training. There's a lot that companies can learn from the farmers because the farmers know their crops and they know their situations quite well. But then feeding the technology back into those. And I know myself, having written quite a lot of labels, need to write much better labels to really help the farmers, much better products, stewardship and farmers, companies that have been successful in doing that.
When you were talking about the unforgiving, you know, quality of biologicals, it made me kind of think also back on another thing that you said at the LATAM conference, which was you said by mixing hybrids, we are limiting what biologicals can do. And I think we should be more open and think about what attributes the substances are and think about how we can use them to exploit and get the best attribute out of them. Can you talk a little bit more about what you meant by that statement and give examples of why you believe that?
I hear this quite often, is particularly traditional ag chem companies come to me and sort of say, well, what we'd like to use is we'd like to have a biological that can be used as a hybrid, or we can mix it together or with our existing chemistry. And what that is that's the thinking about the existing technology and how you can keep using existing technology. It's not about how to get a biological to work better. It's you need to flip the thinking around that. That's what I said. So if you've got a microorganism, simplest terms, a lot of microorganisms can be killed with technicism with a conventional chemical. So it's not a good idea to do that. You can mix things in a rotation in an integrated management program, but it's rare that you can mix them in a tank because the modes of action and the complexity of the substances are, they're unlikely to mix well. But if they do, they can have overlapping modes of action or they can be detrimental to each other on both sides. So if you think about something like the botanical, even the neem, it's not pure neem, there's other components in there. And all of those other components could be important to get efficacy. So you could have a minor component, which is needed with the major components in there, and you need that mixture to be effective. So if you then mix that with something else, you mess up that really delicate balance that you've created, that the plants have created. And the same with microorganisms. You've got microorganisms itself, but you can have the secondary compound. And those secondary compounds are complex secondary compounds. And again, if you're mixing with the chemistry, you can be changing what those secondary compounds are and doing. And, you know, microorganisms are living microorganisms, and you can switch on and switch off their behavior by doing certain things to them. So I think a lot of the time, if you try to mix in the component, there may be examples where you're successful, but on the whole, usual advice is don't mix them, to keep them separate. And what I'd really like to see is people sort of changing their thinking about not how they can use the biologicals to support the chemicals, but the chemicals to support biologicals, because the biologicals have incredible potential. We've just opened up a whole new area of technology with modes of action and with ways in which we can work with pests and diseases that really makes it very, very exciting. And to think about hybrids is kind of like we're limiting our thinking. I'm just trying to think how I can explain where that the excitement that there is that, again, botanicals I work with, some of the botanicals, they do this great thing. When you spray a botanical on the plant, they switch on the plant defense mechanisms. And what's even better is the plants you've switched on, it's not just them you switch on, they signal to their neighbors and switch on. So you've suddenly created a whole crop which has built its defense mechanism as well as the direct action killing the insect as well. And you can have all sorts of really nice interaction behavior. And you should have mixtures, but what I'm really interested in is mixing different ways of working. So one of my favorite is wheat produces a pheromone, which attracts lacewings to come and eat the aphids on the wheat. And it's those kind of interactions which are really cool. And there's another example where you can put a microorganism on the roots of May, and what it does is that microorganisms usually apply for disease protection. But what it then does in certain maize varieties is it stimulates the maize to send a signal to the natural enemy to come and kill the insect. And if you're not careful, you lose those beautiful interactions. And what I think we need to learn to do is to how to work with those really fascinating and useful modes of action and move into using crop protection in that way. So I sort of feel it's a bit brutal sometimes using chemistry with these new technologies. It's not subtle enough for what these technologies can do.
What are some of the things that are exciting you about agriculture right now?
Yes, this is where I am. So, I mean, I've spent all my career working in crop protection. And, you know, I started in the days where there was some of the first work I did was looking at non-target effects of pyrethrin rods. So I've been working across all the technologies for a long time. And it's sort of, I was read a paper a few years ago, and this is somewhat made a penny drop, and it's what I described already about trichoderma on maize. But it was the work that was done in 2005, and they saw that maize could attract natural enemies to come and kill the insects. And what's sitting in that paper is that some varieties can do it and some can't. And it started to get me thinking about, you know, well, what are we doing in crop protection, or what are we trying to achieve in crop protection? And I spent a bit of time thinking, so you reach the point where I realized that we now have the science that can really open up how we can improve food production or plant production, because we sort of now can understand that we can look after soils better, not just in terms of mineral content, but in terms of microbiome. And if you do that, you're creating certain resilience and you're reducing the dominance of the disease organisms in soil. Then we have plant varieties which have a better response to disease attack or insect attack. So they can uplift their responses. So we're not just focused on the best yield. We're also looking at how the plants can respond to these other effects and the interactions with the pests and diseases. And then you layer into that you have a biocontrol that can come in and manage that pest and disease. But if you can co-design that biocontrol with a variety, you can actually then have this lovely mechanism where you can use the biocontrol to trigger the plant to respond at the right time, and you're layering these technologies on top of each other. And we're at a beautiful piece of point in history and research where we have now the technology for all these different components. It's really complex because you need to bring all the components together, but we've reached that point. And I sort of now can realize that what we've been doing with chemistry is really simplistic. It's not to say the technology is simplistic, but we've not been thinking this as biologists. We've not been thinking this of what it's like for a farmer to be standing in his field and how does he create healthy plants. And it's that shift that's coming along now. And I really feel that what's going on is we're going to see an explosion in this technology, but it's a massive change. It's a change for the farmers. It's a change for the value chain. It's a change for the producer of the technology. And companies, you asked earlier, who's going to be successful? Companies are going to be successful. The companies who can harness that change and who can work out how to monetize that change. But if I was advising any youngster now, I think getting into crop protection is about to get really good fun. And it's going to be really nice for the next, sort of, I think, at least the next 20 years. Because it's just such an explosion of understanding what we need to think as biologists and much more, and not just as chemists.
You know, I've heard a lot of like General Mills and PepsiCo, and a lot of these bigger companies that are buying the food from these growers are investing in them to do regenerative agriculture. And I know regenerative agriculture is different than, you know, using biologicals, but biologicals can be a big part of that, you know, as far as, yes, you know, helping, yes, to improve the soil. So it is, it's a very interesting time to see what's going to be happening, you know, as far as like you have the consumers demanding it. You see these big food companies responding to that, got ag tech also in it. But yeah, I know biologicals, it'll be really interesting to see.
Yeah, I completely agree. I agree. I think it's bringing all those different components together. I think biocontrol, because you're harnessing nature and you're using it, what happens is you have less unintended consequences. That's not to say that these things can't be told, so we know that. But the companies who are developing these technologies are deliberately avoiding anything that has the toxicity. And so what you end up is there's less unintended consequences, which means that you're having less of an impact on the other components in your food production system. And you start to develop a much more balanced and holistic approach to how we grow food well. There was a really good conference, the United Nations Agency, the FAO, and a really good conference on global plant production at the back end of last year. And this is the sort of topic that we're talking about. And sort of saying there's a vision there of how this can be achieved. And I think more organizations that get involved, you can see that. And there was another conference at the end of last year, which was the Plant Health Conference later in 2020. And they, again, that the theme that was coming through was that the use of these biological technologies have a really important place into how to achieve some of the goals of a more regenerative and sustainable agriculture production system. There's some incredible breakthroughs going on now in vector control, and biocontrol is applicable to vector control as well. We tend to just think about agriculture, but this is forestry, this is public health as well. That's why I'm saying this is a new technology platform that's coming forward. It's not just one type of technology. And it's, again, I find it so obvious when we think of this as biologists and think of things in networks and how these networks, how everything networks with each other. And as I'm talking, I hear some people sort of say, oh, but there's no space for commercial organizations. There is. There's absolute space for commercial organizations in this, and it can't succeed without them. But it's a different type of commercial organization, which is what we touched on earlier about what the structure those companies will have. How do they structure themselves? How do they create value in the products they've got? And how can they co-develop and be a co-part of the process to help the farmers change? Because there is a big change coming.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Roma. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today.
It's an absolute pleasure. And so thank you for inviting me to talk to you.
Thank you for listening to Sustainable from Agribusiness Global. You can find more podcasts, videos, news, e-newsletters, event, and webinar information at agribusinessglobal.com.